Welcome to Zichudav Siman Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yavamas, Daf Kuf Dod, the 12th parak of Mitzvah's Chalitza. So the three Davs we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Chaltzim b'layla chalitza sal kashera, Rebbe Elazar posa. A chalitza performed at night is valid, but Rebbe Elazar rules it's invalid. The Gemara seeks to define what the Malchokas is based on, and concludes, Marsa v'chalitza k'tchilas din damya, Marsa v'chalitza k'gmar din damya. Rebbe Elazar holds that a chalitza is compared to the beginning of a trial, and is therefore invalid if done at night. Rashi brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, that the beginning of a monetary trial must begin during the day, but may conclude at night. The Tanakhama holds that chalitza is comparable to the conclusion of a trial, and is therefore valid if performed at night. The Mefarshim explained that the Tanakhama compares chalitza to the conclusion of a trial because the Yavamas Ksuba's claim is guaranteed from the time the chalitza takes place. It's therefore like the completion of the trial when the claimants are guaranteed the rights to collect. Belazar sees the chalitza as only the first step towards the Yavama collecting her ksuba. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Chaltza v'rakaka avlo kara'a, chalitza sakashera. If she removed the shoe and spat, but she didn't recite the psukim, the chalitza is valid. Kara urakaka avlo chaltza, chalitza sapasua. If she read the psukim and spat, but did not remove the shoe, the chalitza is invalid. Chaltza v'kara avlo rakaka. If she removed the shoe and recited the psukim, but did not spit, Rabbi Elazar says the chalitza is pasula, but Rabbi Kiva says the chalitza is kashera. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk in the parsha for chalitza says, chacha yeaseh, so shall be done, kol davashu maisa ma'akev, which implies that anything that is an action is essential. Therefore, if the yavama does not spit, the chalitza is invalid. Rabbi Kiva said to Rabbi Elazar, misham raya, from there you bring a proof. The pasuk says, chacha yeaseh le'ish, so shall be done to the man, kol davashu maisa be'ish, which implies that anything that is an action that involves the man is essential. This excludes the spitting, which is done by the Yavama. And pointing with you, the Mishnah stated, Cheresh Shenechlatz veCheresh Shechaltza, veCholetzes minakatan Cholitzes HaPesua. If Cholitza was done on a Cheresh, or a deaf mute woman performed Cholitza, or a Yavama received Cholitza from a minor, the Cholitza is invalid. On this, Rava said, Hash Da'amris Kriya Ma'akva. Now that you've said that reciting the Psukim is essential, and therefore the Cholitza of a deaf mute is invalid, therefore, the chalitza of an ilem v'ilemes, a mute man or a mute woman, is invalid. And the first part of a Mishnah which rules that chalitza is valid even when there's no kriya follows the opinion of Rabbi Zera, who said, "Kol ruy labila ein bila ma'akeves, v'kol she'ein ruy labila bila ma'akeves." Regarding any mincha that is fit for blending, blending is not essential to it, and the mincha is valid without blending. And any mincha that is not fit for blending, blending is essential, and not blending the ingredients invalidates the mincha. Rashi explains that the Mishnah Menachos teaches that a mincha containing up to 60 isarons of flour may be brought in a kli because it can be blended evenly. A larger mincha would require 2 kelim. The Torah, though, never mandates actual blending, and a mincha is valid if left unblended as long as it's capable of being blended. Similarly, if the Yavam Yavama are fit to speak, the actual kriya is not essential to the chalitza, but if one of them are not fit to speak, the chalitza is invalid. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah states, Chaltza b'layla, chalitza sakasher, Rebbe Elazar posel. A chalitza performed at night is valid, but Rebbe Elazar rules it's invalid. The Gemara seeks to define what the Malchokas is based on, and concludes, Marsa v'chalitza k'tchilas din damya, Marsa v'chalitza k'gmar din damya. Rebbe Elazar holds that chalitza is compared to the beginning of a trial, and is therefore invalid if done at night. Rashi brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis, that the beginning of a monetary trial must begin during the day, but may conclude at night. The Tanakhama holds that chalitza is comparable to the conclusion of a trial, and is therefore valid if performed at night. The Mefarshim explained that the Tanakhama compares chalitza to the conclusion of a trial because the Yavama's Ksuba's claim is guaranteed from the time the chalitza takes place. It's therefore like the completion of the trial when the claimants are guaranteed the rights to collect. Belazar sees the chalitza as only the first step towards the Yavama collecting her ksuba. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Chaltza v'rakaka avlo kara'a, chalitza sakashera. If she removed the shoe and spat, but she didn't recite the psukim, the chalitza is valid. Kara v'rakaka avlo chaltza, chalitza sapasua. If she read the psukim and spat, but did not remove the shoe, the chalitza is invalid. Chaltza v'kara avlo rakaka. If she removed the shoe and recited the psukim, but did not spit, Rabbi Elazar says the chalitza is pasula, but Rabbi Kiva says the chalitza is kashera. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Kiva, the pasuk in the parsha for chalitza says, chacha yeaseh, so shall be done, kol davashu maisa ma'akev, which implies that anything that is an action is essential. Therefore, if the yavama does not spit, the chalitza is invalid. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Elazar, Misham Raya, from there you bring a proof. The Pasuk says, Kacha Ye'aseh Le'ish, so shall be done to the man. Kol Davar Shu Maisa Be'ish, which implies that anything that is an action that involves the man is essential. This excludes the spitting, which is done by the Yavama. And point with you, the Mishnah stated, Cheresh Shenechlatz Ve'Cheresh Shechaltza Ba'Choletzes Minakatan Chalitzes Apesua. If Chalitza was done on a Cheresh, or a deaf woman performed Chalitza, or a Yavama received Chalitza from a minor, the Chalitza is invalid. On this, Rava said, Hashd Da'amris Kriya Ma'akva. Now that you've said that reciting the Pesukim is essential, and therefore the Chalitza of a deaf mute is invalid, therefore the Chalitza of an Ilem Ve'Ilemes, a mute man or a mute woman, is invalid. And the first part of a Mishnah which rules that Chalitza is valid even when there's no Kriya follows the opinion of Rabbi Zera, who said, Kol Rui Labila Ein Bila Ma'akevas, V'Kol She'Ein Rui Labila Bila Ma'akevas. Regarding any mincha that is fit for blending, blending is not essential to it, and the mincha is valid without blending. And any mincha that is not fit for blending, blending is essential, and not blending the ingredients invalidates the mincha. Rashi explains that the Mishnah Menachos teaches that a mincha containing up to 60 isarons of flour may be brought in a kli because it can be blended evenly. A larger mincha would require 2 kelim. The Torah, though, never mandates actual blending, and a mincha is valid if left unblended as long as it's capable of being blended. Similarly, if the Yavam Yavama are fit to speak, the actual kriya is not essential to the chalitza, but if one of them are not fit to speak, the chalitza is invalid. All right, so now we go to our siman daf kuf dalad, and our standard siman is a code. A code. So here goes. The covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of a chalitza and spit, while the Elim, who could not perform chalitza because he was not fit to speak, stood outside to guard. Once again, in slow motion. The covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code. Code? That must mean we're on daf kuf dalet. The covert basin that performed a chalitza at night, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, a chalitza performed at night is kasher, but Rabbi Elazar rules it's pesula. The Gemara seeks to define what the machlokas is based on. It concludes, mar sover chalitza ketchilas din damya, or mar sover chalitza gemar din damya. Rabbi Elazar holds that a chalitza is compared to the beginning of a trial and is therefore invalid if done at night. The Tanna Kamma holds the chalitza is comparable to the conclusion of a trial and is therefore valid if performed at night. So the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of chalitza and spit, which reminds us, if the Yavama removed the shua and recited the psukim but did not spit, Rabbi Elazar says the chalitza is invalid, but Rabbi Akiva says the chalitza is valid. Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk in the parsha of a chalitza says, Kacha ye'aseh, so shall it be done. Kol davar shu maisa ma'akev, which implies that anything that is an action is essential. Therefore, if the Yavama does not spit, the chalitza is invalid. Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Elazar, Misham raya, from there you bring a proof. The pasuk says, Kacha ye'aseh le'ish, so shall be done to the man. Kol davar shu maisa be'ish, which implies kol davar shu maisa be'ish, anything that is an action that involves a man is essential. This excludes the spitting, which is done by the Yavama. So, the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama that she had to do the essential acts of a chalitza and spit, while the Elam, who could not perform chalitza because he was not fit to speak, stood outside to guard. Which reminds us, the chalitza of an Elam and Elemes, a mute man or a mute woman, is invalid. And the first part of a Mishnah, which rules that chalitza is valid even when there's no kriya, follows the opinion of Rabbi Zera, who said, Kol rui labila ein bila ma'akevas, kol she'ein rui labila bila ma'akevas. Regarding any mincha that's fit for blending, blending is not essential to it, and the mincha is valid without the blending. And any mincha that's not fit for blending, blending is essential, and not blending the ingredients invalidates the mincha. Similarly, if the Yavam Yavama are fit to speak, the actual kriya is not ma'akev to the chalitza. But if one of them are not fit to speak, the chalitza is invalid. So once again, the covert basin that performed a chalitza at night used a code made of saliva to tell the Yavama she had to do the essential acts of chalitza and spit, while the Elam, who could not perform chalitza because he was not fit to speak, stood outside to guard. All right, now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf kuf. So the sim daf kuf is a monkey. So here goes. The monkey. That must be around daf kuf. The monkey was trained at the granary to assist women first, to save them from disgrace, which reminds us. The Gemara explains that a braisa was saying, "B'makom shel chokim ma'aser ani, nosim l'ishah techila mishum zilusa." In a place where we distribute ma'aser ani, which is given both to men and women, we give the woman first because of the disgrace that the woman would face for having to wait for her turn among a crowd of men. So the monkey was trained at the granary to assist women first, to save them from disgrace. Was so fascinated by a suffolk cone who brought a mincha that was both subject to kamitza and not eaten, which reminds us that the Mishnah Daf Tzadi Tes Amud Beis stated that in a case where Kohen's wife's son got mixed with her shivcha's son, noisnu lav chumre kohanim v'chumre yisraelim, we put on each of the questionable kohanim the chumres of kohanim and the chumres of yisraelim. The Gemara here asks what this is referring to. Rav Papa said, "Lamin chasam." It was taught regarding the voluntary mincha offerings. Nikmeses k'minchas Yisrael, v'enin ne'achelas k'minchas kohanim. It's subject to kamitz like a Yisrael's mincha, but it's not eaten like a Kohen's mincha. How is this done? Hakomitz karv la'atzma v'shirayim kreivim ba'atzman. The komitz is offered on the mizbeach alone, and then the shirayim are offered on the mizbeach alone. So the monkey was trained at the granary to assist women first, to save them from disgrace. Was so fascinated by a suffolk cone who brought a mincha that was both subject to kamitza and not eaten, that he hired himself out to the suffolk cone to help him sell truma and keep the proceeds. Which reminds us, the next mission brings different cases related to when a woman did not wait 3 months. After separating from her husband, she married someone else, gave birth to a male, and it's not known if the child is the 9-month-old child of the first husband or the 7-month-old son of the second husband. If one husband was a Kohen and the other a Yisrael, he may not eat Truma, but if he did, he doesn't pay the principal and the additional fifth, he may not receive Truma at the granary, but he may sell to a Kohen the Truma he separates and keep the proceeds. Daf Kuf Aleph, so the Zimmer Daf Kuf Aleph is a bird caller going caw, caw. At the bird caller competition, that must be more in Daf Kuf Aleph, caw, caw. At the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, which reminds us, the Gemara continues discussing the implications of a child where there is a suffolk, which of two men is his real father. It was taught in a braisa, if he struck this one and then struck that one, or he cursed this one, and then cursed that one, or he cursed them b'bazachas at the same time, or he hit them at the same time, he's chayv misa, for one of them is certainly his father. Rav Yehuda says, b'bazachas chayv b'zeh chazeh pater, if he strikes them simultaneously, he's chayv, but if he does so one after the other, he's pater. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there were two warnings, and each one is a hasra safek, an uncertain warning, and therefore he's pater. The Tanakama, however, holds that hasra safek shma hasra, an uncertain warning, is considered a valid warning, since it's clear in the end, even though the two men were struck at separate times, that a capital offense has been committed. The Gemara brings another braisa that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even babas achas, even at the same time, he would be pater. So at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions, which reminds us of the opening mission of the 12th parak states, mitzvah chalitza b'shlosha dayanim v'afilu shloshan hediotos. The mitzvah of chalitza is performed before a panel of three judges, and even if all three are laymen. The Gemara explains that this means that even though they can be laymen, the be'ina b'shlosha shiyodim l'hakruz ke'in dayanim, that we require three laymen who know how to dictate to the Yavam Yavama the psukim they must recite, like judges. So, at the bird caller competition, the reigning champ attempted to call out caw, caw, to provoke a little chick to strike two roosters at once, while a panel of laymen judges read out the instructions and watched carefully to see if spittle would issue from his mouth. Which reminds the Gemara comes to reject the source that was brought from Yehuda that laymen are valid, for the pasuk of La'ene is required for what Rava taught, that the judges must see the spittle coming from the mouth of the Yavama when she spits before the Yavam, as the pasuk states, La'neha zekenim v'yarka, to the eyes of the elders, and she shall spit. The Gemara concludes that Rav Yehuda's source is derived from where the pasuk says Yisrael, which implies Yisrael Koldu, any member of Yisrael may oversee a chalitza. Daf Kuf Beis, so the Sim Daf Kuf Beis is a cave. So here goes. The three gerim sitting in a cave, that must be more in Daf Kuf Beis. The three gerim sitting in a cave, judging other gerim, which reminds us, Rav has said, ger danas chavero devar Torah, ger can judge his fellow ger according to Torah laws, as stated, som tesim alecha melch asher yivcha Hashem alkecha bo, you shall surely place over yourself a king whom Hashem, your God, will choose. From the midst of your brothers shall you place over yourself a king. This implies that it is only over yourself, meaning born Jews, that we require a king to be someone who is from the midst of your brothers. But a ger can judge his fellow ger. So the three gerim sitting in a cave, judging other gerim, heard a commotion in the next cave when he saw judges instructing the Yavama to remove the shoe. Which reminds us, Rav Kahana said to Shmuel, from what source we know that the term chalitza used in the pasuk of v'chaltzen na'alo me'al raglo, she shall perform chalitza with the shoe upon his foot, means removal. We seem to derive its meaning from the pasuk about saras on a house. V'chiltzu asalvanim asher behena nega, and they shall remove v'chiltzu, the stones that contain the affliction. So the three gerim sitting in a cave judging other gerim heard a commotion in the next cave when Yisrael judges instructing the Yavama to remove the shoe, discovered the Yavam was wearing a sock, which reminds us the Mishnah stated, Ban Pilya Chalitza Sapasua, if Chalitza was performed with a sock, her Chalitza is invalid. The Gemara infers, Dan Pilya Lava Minahu, that a sock is not a shoe. This was learned as well in a Mishnah in Shkalim. Daf Kuf Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Kuf Gimel is Yerushalmi Kugel. So here goes. The amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap, Yerushalmi Kugel, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Gimel. The amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap to ensure the Chalitza shoe would only go on his lower leg, which reminds the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Alef Amud Alef stated that if the Yavama removed the shoe, Minara Kubala Mata Kashera, from the knee downward, the Chalitza is valid. Minara Kubala Mala Basua, from the knee and above, it's an invalid Chalitza. This indicates that even though the word regal literally means foot, it can be understood to also refer to the leg. So the amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap to ensure the Chalitza shoe would only go on his lower leg, told the Yavama named Yael, standing next to a snake, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan said, referring to the incident of Yael and Sisra, Sheva Be'ilas Ba'al Osa Rasha Ba'osa Yom, that Rasha performed seven acts of relations with her on that day. The Gemara explains the Kashadi Bezuhuma, that he cast impurity into her. Rabbi Yochanan said that the moment the Nachash seduced Chava, it cast impurity into her. Yisrael Shamdu Har Sinai, Paska Zuhuma San, when Kol Yisrael stood at Har Sinai, their impurity was stopped and they returned to their original pure state. The impurity was not stopped from the idolaters, and that is what was cast into Yael. So the amputee Yavam, who put a large Yerushalmi Kugel on his lap to ensure the Chalitza shoe would only go on his lower leg, told the Yavama named Yael, standing next to a snake, that she cannot use the sandal mucha from the house with Saras because it's considered already pulverized. Which reminds us, Rapapi said in the name of Rabba Mami, not do Chalitza with a sandal muskar, a shoe that was confined due to the possibility that it has Saras, but if one did, the Chalitza is valid. With the sandal muchat, a sandal that has been confirmed to have tzaras, chalitza is a pasula, the chalitza is invalid. Rashi explains that since the shoe must be burned, it's considered already pulverized, which means that the shoe is viewed as lacking the minimal size required for chalitza. Rapapa said in the name of Rava that if one did a chalitza with a sandal muchat, the chalitza is still valid. All right, that concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldin Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.